that is to progress, that is to make due use of every opportunity that they have. If we're tracking on those slides there, we can go forward a few. Oh, we're having trouble. Okay, that's all right. You'll get to it. Or we just go back to the original program with the lyrics for the songs and everything. It should be on the same thing there. While they get it together, we'll review Ephesians chapter 4. Who was here 2 weeks ago? We're talking about Ephesians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul said that we're to walk, that is to make due use of our opportunities, to progress in life. We're not supposed to just stay where we are. We're supposed to progress. Michael Jansen was sharing yesterday morning at the men's monthly men's breakfast that we have that if you're not going forward, you're moving backwards, actually. And that's in the faith and in the kingdom. We're supposed to progress and move forward. And so the Apostle Paul said to walk or to progress, to move forward, to make due use of every opportunity we have in a spiritual way. And the way that we do that is to put off the old self, to put off the old self, to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and to put on the new self. There's a new you that if we've been baptized into Christ, if we have faith in Christ, we're supposed to walk in light of that new creature, that new creation that we're called to be and who He's created us to be. He's created us, He said, with abundant grace, riches of His grace that He's bestowed on us. Do we avail ourselves of the grace of God, or do we just carry on with life as usual? So I want to ask, how are we doing with that? How are we doing with that? I feel like sometimes you can go forward a couple more there if it works, guys. If not, it's no big deal. But I wonder sometimes if there's a disconnect in the time that we have for 25 minutes on a Sunday morning around the Word, like for the next 20, 25 minutes around the Word. Is there a disconnect in those 25 minutes from the other 10,000 minutes that we'll have this week? It's like sometimes I just want to say, can we just like, maybe we should rethink the way we're doing this. Maybe it should be different, or we should just have a conversation. I don't mean step away from the Word. I mean incorporate the Word in a different way and somehow that it has more impact on my life and my heart. Somehow more impact on our other 10,055 minutes that we'll have this week. What impact is it going to have? Are we responding to it? How are we doing with that? Putting on the new self? Are we walking in light of the riches of God's grace that are on our lives? Are we walking as people who are redeemed? Is there a difference in our lives? Man who used to lead our men's Bible study 10 or 15 years ago would always ask that question at the end of the Bible study. What difference will there be in your life as a result of this study this week? And then Kevin said to us last week, he started talking to us, you know, as people who are abundantly rich in the grace of God, and not only in the grace of God, but rich in other ways as well. Kevin challenged us with the burden that he has about what it is to be poor or to identify with those who maybe don't have the same opportunities that we have. And he challenged us in light of that, what is our response? He mentioned that Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Maybe we don't always respond so well to put on our new man because it's hard because we're so rich. I once heard poverty described as a lack of options. Somebody who's out of options. We have so many options at our disposal, don't we? We have so many options, sometimes we don't know which one to do. What are we going to do this time? What am I trying to decide? Because there are so many options that we have. And so it's hard for us to enter the kingdom sometimes. We're that rich man that Jesus is talking about. I don't know if Kevin wanted to say it, but I'll say it. We are. We are. But Jesus also went on to say, with God, all things are possible. It's hard for a rich man to be saved, but with God, in fact, with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Do I still believe it? Do you still believe it this morning? Do you still believe it? Somehow Jesus and the disciples, I'm thinking, well, what's so hard? Is it because we live by the beach? Is that why it's such a challenge? It's like, you know, hey, Beasley, take it easy. It's the summer, man. I'm on vacation. Would you just don't hassle me. I'm local here. Like life at the beach, right? Somehow Jesus and his disciples, they lived by the beach, didn't they? Like these fishermen, like always at the beach. Jesus is cooking fish on the beach, right? Somehow they found a way. They found a way to enter the kingdom of heaven, and I pray that we do this morning. So I don't really know where all that came from, but thank you, Kevin, for the challenge last week. It kind of like sparked me in this way, considering all these things. But this morning I'm praying and I'm trusting God to speak to us as we consider the word of the Lord to Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 47 of that prophetic book, and how the Lord leads us through the waters. He leads us through the waters, and I'm praying that not only that we hear it, but that we respond to it, and the next 25 minutes or so has bearing on our lives as we look into the Word and hear from the Lord. Now, we have to be careful when we're looking at prophetic words or a prophetic book. Context is super important, and one must take care to have the context. So the context here is this prophet Ezekiel. He's living in exile. He receives and records a couple of visions. We go forward one more there, Tom. Received and recorded visions from the Lord, and then he writes them down in this book. And again, as with any book and scripture in general, Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is living and it's active. So it has application in that time for those people at that time. It has application for us where we are today. Do you believe it? You believe God's word has application for you today? It does. And it has future implications as well. I think sometimes, you can go forward there, a couple, yep, keep tracking, keep going, one more, there we go. Future implications for us, but sometimes we get so caught up in those future implications that I think we miss what God wants us to see in the present time. So Lord, I pray that you would open our minds and our hearts and our eyes to see what application there is from your word today, Lord, that we might know you more and walk in light of the new man you've called us to be. In Jesus' name. So Ezekiel 47, these 12 verses in the beginning are going to challenge us with how far we will go with the Lord. Will we remain yoked together with the Lord and be willing to go with him to the next level? Or will we say to the Lord, only so far and no further? And so let's read there, Ezekiel 47. He brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. And he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside of the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. And when the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees, and again, he measured 1,000 and led me through water, water reaching the loins. And once more, again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, water enough to swim in, a river that could not be forded. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? And he brought me back to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and on the other. And he said to me, these waters go out toward the eastern region and go down to the Arabah, and they go down towards the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the water of the sea becomes fresh. It will come about that every living creature which swarms in the place where the river goes will live. And there will be very many fish, for these waters go there, and the others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it from Engedi to Eneglaim, and there will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. By the river on its bank, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Amen. So Ezekiel is being led by this man, this unnamed guide, who some say is the Lord, or we certainly know if it's not the Lord, it's an agent of the Lord and for his purpose. And Ezekiel says that the man brought me or led me back to the door, back to, a Hebrew word, means to return to the starting point. How many of you know the Lord brings us to the starting point so that we can consider and see where we go from here? Amen? So the man brings him to the door, to the starting point. And he says, then he brought him out. So he brought him to, and now he brings him out, which means to exit, to go forth. Sometimes it's translated to carry. And how many of you know God brings us to a starting point, but then as he did with the children of Israel, he carried them out of Egypt, right? He says, I carried you out on wings of eagles. So God brings us to the starting point, but he brings us out, causes us to go forth or to exit. And then he says in verse 3, then he brought me through, Ezekiel says. The Hebrew word abar, to cross over. The Lord isn't simply taking Ezekiel for a swim in the river, but he's taking him through. He's taking him through something in the kingdom of God, in the presence of God. So then the Lord brings us to, he brings us out, and he brings us through. And it says that the man had a measuring line in his hand, a string which binds or connects. And just as the Lord was bringing Ezekiel to, out, and through, just as the man sent from God was marking the distance to the next destination, to the next level, if you will, in the river, leading Ezekiel through the waters, I believe the Lord wants to lead us to and out and through. I believe he measures for us and he leads us out. He brings us out as he brings Ezekiel here. He measures and leads us to greater depths of his spirit and a walk that Paul exhorts us we should be progressing in. Amen? Ezekiel led another 1,000 cubits. Are we willing to be led? It says, he led me. Are we willing to follow? Are we willing to be led? Another 1,000. And that word 1,000 is interesting. It's a Hebrew word, aleph. It means 1,000, but it also references a company of men, like 1,000 men are referred to as 1,000. It represents a military term. You'll remember the people chanting, Saul has slain his thousands. That's that word, aleph. He's slain 1,000 men, men who are in a company under one leader. So it's a reference to men, and it's also a reference to cattle or oxen being yoked together to learn. Yoked together to learn. And if you take this together, we are the fold. We're the group that's under one leader, and we, like Ezekiel, are being yoked together with our one leader and with one another to learn. In order to learn one step at a time, as he measures out, says, here's where we're going. Here's where we're going next. And we're being led into 4 distinct dimensions of the river. In the first dimension, the first 1,000 cubits, the man measures a line, takes a line in his hand and measures 1,000 cubits. And Ezekiel said that there was water that was ankle deep. And the word for ankle means no more or less than nothing. It's the starting point, truly, of life in the river. Everywhere the river flows, there's life. This is the starting point, is ankle deep. One dimension in the river. Have you ever tested the waters before you got in something? I grew up in the South, in Virginia and Mississippi, and I even spent some time in Florida for a summer as a kid. And the water's warm. The water's warm down there in the summer. And so I came to Long Island the first time about 25 years ago. And the beach, I think it was like the 4th of July, and it was blazing hot outside. And it was one of those sunny days where the sand is so hot, like your feet just can't handle it. Especially if you've been in Pennsylvania for years and your feet haven't been on the sand for very much, which was the case for me. And so it was blazing hot, and I'm running to the water. This is great. I'm going to jump in the water. And I jumped in the water and was freezing cold and immediately got back out. I started getting a headache. It was so cold. And then 17 years ago when I moved here, I went in ankle deep, okay, before I would jump in the water. As soon as I moved here, I said, okay, I've been hurt before. I'm only going in ankle deep. Anybody who's been hurt before and only goes in ankle deep, that was the case for me thereafter, and it might be okay as it relates to the ocean, but maybe it's not so okay as it relates to the kingdom, because he's calling us to go deeper. Somebody who's ankle deep in the water might attend church, but as that word ankle means no further, say, well, I'm going no further. Michael also challenged us with this notion of being cultural Christians. The church that he grew up in as a teen, before God really got a hold of his heart, he said it was a very cultural kind of thing, but more than kingdom, it was cultural. There are people who would dip their toes in the water, but only go so far and go no further. But that's okay. We all start at the starting point, right? Scripture says taste and see. Everybody's got to taste. Everybody's got to reach in and see if they're willing to go. But Hebrews 11 says God rewards those who diligently seek him. That word diligently means craving for more. Am I craving for more? Am I craving for more? Am I diligently seeking? Or am I just comfortable to dip my toes in the water? And after another 1,000, Ezekiel says the river was knee-deep. Knee-deep. The word berek for knee. The root word means to kneel or to bless or to thank or to praise God. Is there anyone who's willing to go knee-deep this morning, who's willing to bless and thank and praise the Lord? That's good. That's good. We're staying yoked together with the Lord. We're being led out. Have you ever been knee-deep in a river? And so it's different from a pond, right? It's different from the ocean. It's a different experience. The water's flowing in a river. And once you get in a little bit, it's one thing to have your feet. It's another thing once you start getting up to the knee, all of a sudden, wow, I've got to be aware. There's something that's influencing my life here. There's something that's affecting me. Or if you are on your knees in the water and it's flowing, you're giving way. You're giving some measure of your autonomy over to something besides yourself. And that's what it is to be knee-deep, to go the next 1,000 as the Lord measures the line out and leads us through to the next stage, the next place, the next stage of the journey. Even the difficult circumstances of life can even challenge people who aren't necessarily believers to pray. Did you ever realize that? When things are really bad, when things are really tough, when 9/11 happens, people who wouldn't normally come to God or ask for prayer say, hey, man, pray for me, right? Even people who are separated from God, so to speak, and aren't in the kingdom are willing to go knee-deep, right? At some point, in fact, the scripture says, one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess, right? Are we no different than the masses of people, or will we only stay and remain at the knee-deep level in the river of God? Lord, take us another 1,000. And again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the waist or the loins. This word waist deep literally means the hips or the small of the back. Now you're putting your back into something. Now you're putting your back into it. Now it's work. Now I'm relinquishing a little more. Now I'm giving my strength to something. If you put your back into it, you got to move this piano, you got to put your back into it, I'm telling you. And in the same way, Jesus says, worship the Lord with all your strength. Once we start putting our back into it, we're being called to the next level to worship the Lord with our strength. And at this point, man, the river has influence on my life, right? The river's beginning to affect me. Now I'm giving my time and my resources to the kingdom at this level of the river. At this stage, it's no longer just dipping my foot in the water. It's no longer saying, well, I'll be willing to go this far. No, this is like, man, I'm getting in this thing, and I'm giving my very strength to it. When you're hip deep in the river, you've begun to relinquish another measure of control. Not simply bowing the knee, but we're saying, Lord, you have control. I'm willing to be led another 1,000. I'm willing to be yoked together to learn. I'm willing to go to the next level. How many of you want to be waist deep for God? Well, guess what? There's one more level. There's another level. Verse 5 says, the man led Ezekiel another 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, he says, enough water to inundate. Swim means I'm in over my head. Well said, Darlene. Have you ever been in over your head with anything? You've really, now you don't, you're at the mercy of the river at that point. When it's water enough to swim in, I'm saying, Lord, my life is in your hands. If you don't lead me and bring me through this thing, I'm not coming back. I'm not coming out alive. You're leading me. I'm trusting you to lead me. You're calling me and measuring me out another 1,000 in water enough to swim. Will we stay yoked together with the man and go another 1,000? Who would like to swim in the river of God, as it were, today? Here's what it looked like for the early church to go out that next 1,000. In Acts 4, it says, the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. That's in over your head, right? But all things were common property to them, and with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all, for there was not one needy person among them. Those people are in water enough to swim. They're giving their very lives and livelihood for the purpose of God. They win another 1,000. And when the man brought Ezekiel back to the bank, he asked him, Son of man, have you seen this? Have you perceived this? Have you considered this? And there's that word again that means to return to the starting point, to the starting point. And so God is leading us to, he's leading us out, he's taking us through these things, he's measuring and challenging us to follow him, to be led by him, and then sometimes he brings us back to the bank to consider and says, have you seen this? Do you see what's happened? Have you considered? Do you perceive what's going on? Have you taken a look around to see what's going on? I think sometimes we get so caught up in that thing, whatever it is, the circumstances of our life, the walk that we have with the Lord, the frustrations that we have, the glories, the great moments that we have, that we don't take time to come back to the bank. If he leads us back to the bank and says, consider. Now just consider. Perceive. Recognize everything that's gone on, that's transpired. Consider what's just transpired. Consider all that he's brought us through. Consider what God is doing in this time. And so I'll ask us, as a congregation, do we realize what God's brought us through? What he's brought us to and out and through? Do we recognize or ever take time to consider what this congregation has gone through in its span of 85 years or whatever it is? Well, let's consider that for a moment. About 50 years or so after the Civil War, a baby boy was born in Mechanics Falls, Maine. He was as close to the Civil War as we are to the Vietnam War. Right? 50 years seems like a long time ago, but for some of us, it's like, okay, it really wasn't that long ago, was it? He was given the name Guard, not Beauregard, just Guard. They don't make names like they used to, right? 96 years ago. Although Cyrus Alexander Leonetti's a pretty strong name, so we got some credit for that one, I suppose. But this man, Guard L. Rowe, was born in 1922, and he went on to become a father. He had a son and 3 daughters, and he became a pastor. And he pastored in Maine, he pastored in Massachusetts, in Brooklyn, in Queens. He even marched in Selma for civil rights, his daughter Maris tells me, before finally landing in Point Lookout about 3 decades ago. And Reverend Rowe, as he was affectionately called, pastored this congregation before our own pastor, Greg, arrived about 22 years ago. But by the time Pastor Greg arrived, society had changed, and not as many people went to church. And in this church, there were only a handful of people at that point. And they were sort of dipping their feet in the water, but there really maybe wasn't enough water to swim in, so to speak. It was just a handful. And Greg, just like I did when I jumped into the water in Jones Beach for the first time you know, 25 years ago, and I jumped right back out. Greg jumped in the water here, and he jumped right back out in Point Lookout. But by God's grace, over time, and he and his wife praying and considering and trusting God, he put his foot in the water, and he went in ankle deep, and he went in waist deep, and before he knew it, there was enough water to swim in, and that was 22 years ago. Last Saturday evening, at the ripe old age of 96, Reverend Rowe finished his race. Just the other day, and his daughter called. Said, "Is anybody there who knows, who remembers Reverend Rowe?" And I said, "Man," well, I see Astrid raising her hand there. I said, "There are a few people." I said, "I know there's one guy who remembers him. I know there's one guy who remembers him. Pastor Greg knows Guard Rowe for sure. I've heard that name, and it's only because of Pastor Greg." But I'm thankful that Reverend Rowe was willing to go another 1,000 cubits and to come here and to serve and to keep the doors open, not for an institution, not for a social club, but for the glory of God. By God's grace, somehow this Point Lookout Community Church is here. And so I sit on the bank of the river kind of considering all that's happened, and I look back and I see Guard Rowe is finished, and it's no more a struggle. But sometimes the Lord brings us back to the bank to consider all that's transpired. And I wonder, could it be right now the Lord is going out with a line in his hand, as it were, measuring and challenging us with whether or not we'll be led into this river? Will we be yoked together with him, but only in ankle-deep waters, or only so far, as opposed to letting go like those disciples in the early church, putting our back into the kingdom, or actually going into waters that are so deep we have to depend on him to bring us out? Will we head back to shore early, or will we follow the next 1,000 cubits? Reverend Rowe finished his struggle, but Pastor Greg's struggle remains. That struggle is shared by his wife, and it's shared by his family. And the man stands with a measuring line in his hand. He wants to lead us out deeper than we've ever been before. First Corinthians 15:46 says, "The spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual." What if our willingness to go to the next level in the spiritual is being tested in the natural? How will we respond? And I say this not as a guilt trip at all, but I say it as a challenge to myself and to all of us. What's the difference that this 25 minutes on a Sunday morning is going to make? If it doesn't make a difference for the other 10,000, then what's the point? Maybe we could take 120 of those 10,000 minutes left in the week and maybe go help Greg and Tina. Maybe we could take an hour or two this week and just go to the next level and just say, "You know what? Tina's over there trying to sort through this, trying to figure all this out. We're coming around her, but it's confusing and it's overwhelming, and I'm sure she's felt like she's overwhelmed and she's been affected by something that's stronger than she is." Maybe you could take 120 of your 10,055 minutes left in the week and just say, "Listen, I'd love to help for an hour." Or maybe this family that stood up here last Sunday, who's really going through the struggle of their lives, no exaggeration, admittedly so, changing vocation, changing in churches, relocating to the West Coast, and a host of other challenges they're facing. Man, by God's grace, could we, if the man standing there with a measuring line, say, "Hey, man, would you just come a little bit deeper? Maybe we could take a few of our 10,000 minutes this week and say, hey, can I just have a cup of tea with a wife who's hurting, with a woman who's in the middle of her husband being trained for another job and away half the time, trying to move in a couple of weeks?" Or a family, young family. Man, think of this. Where will Cyrus Alexander Leonetti be in 96 years? Maybe he'll be up here in this pulpit someday. I don't know what God has in mind. I know this. The man stands with a measuring line in his hand and says, will you come out another thousand? He's measuring another thousand. Here's how deep the water is. Will we be led out into deeper waters this morning? Or maybe if you're here and it's foreign, completely foreign to you, or the concept, I don't know where anyone is at this morning. Maybe the concept of diving into a river or dipping your water, maybe it's just like, maybe you want to know more about it. Man, I would tell you, I'm going to be standing right back there in that foyer, not as something to force anything on anybody, but to say, hey man, if you want to know more about it, let's talk about it. Life's too challenging to go through by yourself and to not consider what's going on. And the hope and the prayer is that as we examine this word together and we come on a Sunday morning to look at it, that it affects more than just the next half hour that we have, but it affects the rest of the week and the rest of our lives for eternity. Where will our lives be in 96 years? Who's going to make the phone call for me? Hey, do you remember that guy? What's going to be left of it? What is the legacy that we leave? Will it be one of being led by the Lord to, being led out, being led through? Will it be one of going to the next level? Would you stand with me this morning as we're dismissed? I'm going to ask Kevin to come up here and just close us.